Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Bonnie?
I'm doing great, too. We're really excited that tonight we're going to have a special guest on, Heather Cram, who's a wonderful author and someone who's written a wonderful book, Your What? A Straight Spouse's Guide to Survival. And we're going to be talking to Heather in just a moment. I just wanted to mention a couple of things that we started our Australian chat room this week. And wasn't that exciting, Misty?
That was so rewarding to be able to reach, you know, halfway around the world. I guess it may be more than halfway. Let's say on the other side of the world. How about that?
Yeah,
and to just
it's
reach
really
out to those women.
Mm-hmm. Really down under, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, it was wonderful. And we have a few new women who will be joining us this week in our Australian chat room. So if you're listening to us from Australia and you would like to find the support, this is where to do it. Just write me a note at bonk@aol.com, and I'll send you instructions on how you can join us. And we do want to mention that we're having our Florida get-together, Florida 6th and 7th, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, this year. We get together every year. This is Misty and my contribution to helping women. So if you would like to join us for this wonderful, exciting, empowering weekend, also write to me. We have about 15, 16 women who are scheduled to come and looking forward to, you know, another few who will join us for the most memorable weekend that you'll have as far as healing and rebuilding yourselves. So we have our guest, I believe, coming on. Let's just check. Misty, hold on 1 second. Heather, is that you?
That is me. Hi,
Hi Heather. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you tonight?
Good, and Misty's with us also.
Hi, Misty.
Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Well, I look forward to talking with you both. Thank you for the invitation to come on.
Well, we're really excited that you could join us on our show, Straight Wives. And you've written a very exciting book and that came out this past year called Your What? Survival Strategies for Straight Spouses. And before we get started talking about it, I always like to let our listeners know that if anybody would like to call in and ask any questions to either us or to Heather, please feel free to do so. I'll give you the number where you can call. It's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again. Area code 646-716-4893. So, Heather, welcome to our Straight Wives show. We're really excited, like I said, to have you join us. And
thank
can you.
Can you
tell us a little bit about yourself and your situation, something that led you into writing this book?
Well, I think it's probably obvious of what led me to write the book.
the fact you had a gay husband?
Yes,
yeah, that usually could do it. Yes.
That usually can do it, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, Bonnie, a lot of it had to do with you. When I was about 41 years old and I was going through my journey of learning my husband was gay, I was looking for information anywhere, and I just, you know, immediately went to the Internet, which is the typical place I go for information, and found that there was relatively little out there. But your books and the few limited other books that I could find online were just my support network that, you know, the one place I could go to when I didn't feel like I could talk to anybody else because no one would understand what I was going through. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I was able to help you with that.
Yeah.
And when did you first discover about your husband being gay?
Well, I had been married for, you know, going on 14 years. And I was like so many of the women that I listened to on your show again and again and again, that certainly I was not aware of his homosexuality at all. We had a very normal middle-class American family with two children, going to church, going to work, getting the kids to school. There didn't seem to be anything. And even all of my neighbors, I had this very close neighborhood where we all supported each other and helped take care of each other's kids. You know, no one knew. And one day it all just started to change and unravel, and it came to me as quite a surprise.
So what area do you live in, Heather?
I live in the Midwest. I live in Minnesota.
Okay, so you're living in an area where this isn't something that's commonly spoken about, correct?
Absolutely. It's not commonly spoken about, no.
And did you grow up in an area where there's a lot of church activity, you know, traditional American values?
Yes.
Where there's a very low percentage of openly gay people?
You know, I can't honestly say that because I think there is a relatively, you know, sizable gay population in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But none that I had ever been a part of my world, really.
Right. So it wasn't anything you were thinking about when you marry someone. You know,
oh,
to
goodness,
say first,
goodness, no.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, are you straight or gay? I mean, that's not usually a question that we come up with when we're getting into a relationship with someone.
It absolutely
and there,
isn't.
There wasn't the stereotypical features of a gay man and your husband, I'm sure. You know, that so many
nope.
people say to us, well, you must have known something. Like, how are we supposed to know?
That's the
I
truth.
Mean, there were no telltale signs at that time, were there?
No.
No. And how old were you when you got married?
I was 28, and I had been dating my husband at the time for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I tell you, there were just no signs that I saw. And at the time, in the first early years of my marriage, there were no signs that anybody ever told me about. Or that they saw. So there was no indication whatsoever of his homosexuality. None. Loving, caring, you know, upstanding citizen, warm, comforting kind of man in the very beginning.
And Heather, how about in the beginning with your sexual life? Would you say it was a normal sexual relationship?
Absolutely.
Right, so there was no giveaway with that, correct?
There was no giveaway with that.
Because a lot of women, you know, that when they come to me, you know, they're always saying, well, we had a normal sex life. And I say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Because that's not a, you know, when you first get married, when you're in your 20s or in your 30s, a lot of times, you know, those issues haven't really come to full surface and men are able to perform sexually, so you can't go by that.
Yeah.
So there was no hint to you in that way, correct?
I mean, there really wasn't, Bonnie, no.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't, you know, I don't want to say anything out of line, but certainly, you know, I had had some previous sexual experience prior to
mm-hmm.
my marriage. So it wasn't like I didn't have anything to kind of relate it to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fully, fully engaging sexual experience when we first got married.
All right. So you went into the marriage with good faith, you know, with all the mm-hmm. dreams and hopes that everybody else has, you know, when they got married. You had
mm-hmm.
children. And when did things start falling apart?
Well, as I said, you know, it went very, as soon as I learned about his homosexuality, we just immediately started divorce proceedings very quickly after that, and we were able to talk about it. So I feel lucky in that respect that we were able to talk it through and follow a process of what are we going to do with the kids, and he wanted to be fully engaged with them, and that was a good thing. But I honestly was unaware of his homosexuality until, you know, right at the very end when, you know, when the exposure came out. You know, just boom.
And how
so
did
mine
that happen?
Wasn't a slow process.
Right.
You know, mine was more of a, you know, he honestly didn't want to be gay. You know, I've heard you say it 100 times on your show, Bonnie, that, you know, who would choose that?
Right.
Who would choose the life of being a gay person?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a very difficult world to live in. And my husband at the time experimented with, I believe he didn't want to be a gay person. He didn't, he didn't believe that that's where he meant to go or what he was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And during that process of experimentation is when I found out.
Right. And I do want to mention that I think you should realize at this point that straight men don't experiment.
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, when women come to me and they say, well, my husband tried it, you know, he didn't like it, you know, he wants to be committed to my marriage, no doubt, you know, it's a, maybe they don't like it on an emotional level, maybe they're so suppressed with it, but the fact that they need to try it, this is not something that straight men do. Straight men don't go with other men. So when women come to me and they tell me that, that's to me the first sign when they say that your husband, you know, one of the first signs my husband feels, you know, he has to experiment. So were you totally, you know, taken back when this news came out, or were you totally, you know, not aware, or were you suspecting at all prior to that time?
And this is where the idea from the book came, because I was amazed at how shocked I was. And I'm not a Pollyanna kind of person, right, that just doesn't pay attention to the clues and doesn't pay attention to my life. I'm very engaged in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my children and with my marriage. But I must not have been paying attention to this one, because it came out of the blue to me. Just
well, I think
shocked
that,
me.
Not necessarily that you weren't paying attention. I think these guys know how to really cover it up. You know, they live every day of their life trying to cover their own lies, and some of them are really excellent at it, you know, which I always think that, you know, they really should get some kind of award for being, you know, best actor of the year. But, you know, there's some of us who are totally, totally, totally blindsided. I mean, others have hints, others have red flags, but some women are really in shock. But in retrospect, if you look back now, even though you were totally blindsided at the time when he told you, when, you know, you were 41, that's when it happened. But when you look back now, do you think now there were any maybe signs that you missed?
Yes. Sure.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that so other women can realize that also?
Sure. And part of what I write about in my, and why I started the website and wrote in my book, is to kind of help other women that may be talking themselves out of the fact that they think their husband is gay. And this, I have calls from women all the time who find out about me in one way or another. And they send me emails saying, here are some things that my husband's doing. Do you think this could be that they're gay? And I know you wrote a checklist, right, that are kind of signs. And, you know, some of the things that I missed were my husband was getting involved with a group of men that we as a couple hadn't known.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very strong group of friends, but all of a sudden new friends were starting to show up. And I wasn't being invited to the party.
Mm-hmm.
So they would get together for cards or, you know, to go out and have cocktails or whatever they were doing. But the typical situation where we would do it together started to erode, and he would go out with them all the times and not invite me. So I was staying home with the kids. I was actually happy about it at the time because I thought he was getting new friends. And that's
exactly.
Always a good thing for guys.
And we always hear that from women also. They encouraged it. You know, they were happy their husbands were finding friends. Because many times these guys never really had a life outside their marriage as far as friends were concerned. And I think that's because they had a hard time relating to straight men as friends. So then finally when they do, you know, come up with new friends or they start going places, you kind of feel like a sense of relief.
That's exactly
it. Right, so I don't think that would give it away to me either.
Mm-hmm.
So what were some of the other signs?
Well, you know, just a kind of a, on the few times when we did go out with new friends, maybe there was just, you know, across the table, my husband at the time, I keep saying that, but that, you know, he would be looking or talking to a friend with just a little bit different look in his eye, or the connection during a joke or after a joke was just a little bit longer than it typically is. when you're just talking with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a little bit of a connection, almost like a flirtation thing that you see in heterosexual dating. And I never picked up on it, but now looking back, I saw it was happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
one.
Let me
ask you this. When your husband, did your husband reveal it to you, or did you discover it somehow?
I try to keep that private. Do you mind if I don't say that?
Not at all.
Okay. Thanks.
You know,
You know, I talked with a lot of women when I was writing my book. I talked to maybe 25, 30 different women, and they were all over the board on if they found out, you know, if their husbands told them or if they found out some other way. So what I'm learning is there is no common exposure, is there? There's no common way of finding out.
No, there is no common way, although I do find that in most cases the men aren't honest and don't tell. You know, the
mm-hmm.
women have to kind of uncover it themselves. And in many cases, even when they confront their husbands make them think they're crazy. You know, that
mm-hmm.
you don't know what you're talking about or you're imagining it. Or they try to make you think like you're the one who's, you know, paranoid and try to throw the blame back at you, or what I call gay lighting. You know, previously known as gaslighting for straight people, gay lighting for gay people. But I see a lot of that happening. But, I mean, there are those men who really do the right thing because they come to me. And they really are feeling very remorseful and they feel very saddened by the whole situation. And they come to me for help, and I tell them, you know, this will be the worst day of your life, the worst thing that you have to ever say to your wife. But you have to do it. You know, you just owe her the truth. And there's some men who are really conscionable who feel very bad about it, and, you know, they do tell the truth. But I haven't found that in the majority of cases. You know, I think the men are too scared of losing what they have, and they'd rather just, you know, try to turn everything around. And,
mm-hmm.
in fact, some of them start getting really abusive about it. So you're right. There's no one way to do it, but I find the majority of men just aren't doing it the right way. And I think
sure.
the right way is that once you need to act on it, then you need to be honest about it. You know, I always tell men, you know, that you have no choice in being gay, but you do have a choice in being honest once you know that you want to act on it. And I think
right.
that part of the devastation, you can correct me if I'm wrong when I'm talking, you know, in your particular case, is knowing that it was going on while you're still married.
Oh, that is the most devastating piece of it. When you find out that it has been going on while you're married.
Mm-hmm.
To recover from that is a long process. Just all of the, I don't know, the self-doubt. I went through a big process of, oh, my God, why didn't I see it? Why didn't I see it? Why didn't I open my eyes to what was going on around me? Because there was plenty of it, you know. There was changes in my husband's physical being.
Mm-hmm.
He completely changed his body. And I was dumb enough to think that that was for me. And I was all excited about it. And he was working out more and, you know, starting to, you know, lean out because he was entering into a world where that was more important. And I didn't realize that it wasn't for me, but I wasn't asking the questions.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you were afraid to ask them?
Yep. You know, now looking back, my life was absolutely everything I wanted it to be. I guess I said earlier that I'm not a naive person, but I look back on this episode of life and I was naive because I didn't ask. I saw it happening and I just didn't want to know. I just thought, no, it can't be. It just can't be. So I didn't allow myself to believe that that was that he was potentially a gay man.
And I think that's a very common reaction, Heather. I mean, we see it, right, Misty?
Absolutely. I think many of the women that I work with, and I know you've worked with, and I'm sure some of the women you've been in contact with as well, Heather, I think many
mm-hmm.
of us, that's the last thing we want to accuse our spouse of being is gay. So the easiest way to do that is to avoid those set of questions, to avoid that confrontation. because that's the last thing we want. But why? And, you know, I think what women need to understand, why are you even having those feelings? Why? There's a reason. Because as Bonnie and I have talked about on here before, I've yet to meet the woman that has falsely accused her husband of being gay.
Mm.
Well, I think also that it's the most horrible thought because, you know, if you think it and it may be true, then you know there's really very little hope of anything you can do to salvage the marriage. And I think that being the, you know, when you love a husband, it's not that you don't love your husband many times. When this news comes out, the last thing you want to do is lose the marriage. So, you know, if he's not telling you and you don't have to confront it, as I say, you can continue living in that state of limbo with him, because once you do confront it and once it is out, then you have to make the decision. And, you know, most women are not able to live with this. So it means that everything that you've spent your life building up and hoping for is all of a sudden going to be shattered, and whatever you thought you had has been an illusion. So it's very easy to see why people avoid facing that truth, Heather. So I hope you don't, you know, blame yourself too much for that. The fact is that eventually you did what you had to do. And,
yep.
You know, you realize that, you know, this is what it is, and you didn't try to pretend that it wasn't.
Well, eventually I didn't pretend that it wasn't. But as you said, I was absolutely classic in that I didn't want to believe that he could be gay, because if he did, I knew what the next process would be, and I loved my life the way it was.
Uh-huh.
It was going along just beautifully. You know, two kids, a husband, a family. It was beautiful.
And you had a good marriage.
And I had a good marriage.
Mm-hmm. Right. You were good friends, correct?
We were. Very good friends.
So, you know, when people are in a good marriage, it's so much more difficult. I always tell Misty, and you think I wrote about that in my last newsletter when I was writing, you know, a newsletter about the guys who were the good guys in the marriages. That's such a much harder marriage to leave because everything is good, you know, and you're happy in your life. You don't realize that you have a problem. And then all of a sudden, boom, this is thrust on you. So you keep hoping that if you hope against hope and you don't have to acknowledge it and you don't bring it up, then, you know, you're hoping it'll go away. And I often have women say to me, I can't believe that my husband's willing to give up this marriage and give up his family for sex. You know, they just don't understand it's not just about sex. It's about who the person is as a person. And that, you know, he's been living somebody else's life all these years, and it's really difficult to keep doing that. But, and you know, and I understand all that. It's just really hard for me to still justify how these guys for years go, you know, behind their wives' backs and, you know, have all these relationships while they're still in the marriage and, you know, make the wife think that, you know, she's crazy if she thinks something's going on. But after years happened and your marriage ended, and you, I know you were very devastated, and, you know, then you wrote your book, and I want to let people know that the book is called Your What? Survival Strategies for Straight Spouses. And you do have a beautiful, beautiful website. So I would like people to get a pencil so you can write down Heather's website. I mean, of all the websites for all these organizations and books, including mine, I love yours the best.
Oh, thank you.
You know, as far as books are concerned. And I love Misty's also. I don't know if you've had a chance to see Misty's website yet.
I have. I love Misty's website.
Isn't it beautiful? I know sometimes when I'm just feeling like I have to relax, I bring up Misty's website at Misty.
Thank you.
MistyHall.com, MistyHall.com. But I want to give you Heather's website, and her website is www.ismyspousegay.com, all one word, ismyspousegay.com. And when you pull that up, you'll see Heather's website, and on here are some really interesting things, because Heather has her beautiful picture on here. Heather, you could be modeling somewhere.
Oh, that's not me. I have to say that's me, but that's not me.
I know,
I'm so sorry. That picture, I thought you were talking about that person at the top of my
head. Yeah, the picture of you, I meant.
Yeah.
That beautiful blonde picture of you. Heather could actually be modeling. That's how beautiful she is on here. It says author speaks out. But also where it says, you know, share your story, resources, signs your husband's gay. So Heather has a checklist also. And, you know, I guess some of them are similar to the ones that I have on my checklist, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you've added some other information as well. And, you know, how to get her book, which, you know, I think is a wonderful book. You'll see my recommendation on her website. And also, if you're getting my newsletter this month, making sure that, you know, the book's in there also, Heather, so people can read about it. You know,
thanks,
get
Bonnie.
A little overview of that and how to order it and how to contact Heather, because sometimes if you share your story, like she has a, you know, tab on there where you can share your story, you know, where she encourages women, you know, to talk about it. And also different resources that, you know, that you need. And also, we also have your link on our Facebook page also. Misty was kind enough to put that on because I'm totally computer illiterate for Facebook. But Misty did put it on. Misty, can you explain that?
Absolutely. For anyone out there that wants to friend us, and you do not have to be a friend to view our Facebook page. It's public. It's Straight Wives, StraightWives. And every Sunday, I put a post on there who our guests will be. And if they have a link, I also include their link. And today, our special guest, as you know, is Heather Cram. So you can go directly to her website from our Facebook page, our Straight Wives Facebook page.
Well, thank you, Misty, for doing that. Misty's the computer literate one of the two of us. So, Heather, now that you've been through all of this and you've written the book, you feel a sense that you've really done something positive for women who are in this situation? Have you gotten good feedback?
This was the whole idea. I mean, the book started out as just being a cathartic way to get out. You know, it was actually my therapist's idea. I had never seen a therapist before before this happened to me, and I was so grateful for her to help me find ways to kind of work through it as we were going through the divorce, which was not pretty and, you know, just so full of emotion. I started getting calls from women in other parts of the world, you know, the United States, and some from overseas as well, just asking how I was going through this process. So I'm just, you know, whether I don't sell any books at all, it doesn't matter. What matters is I am feeling very, very happy that my world was completely unexpected when I walked through the closet with my husband, more or less, and entered into this world I knew nothing about. If I can provide a little bit of information that makes it easier or less stressful for even one other woman, you know, that's the whole idea.
How do you feel about women who stay in these marriages, your personal opinion?
I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel sorry for them. And I don't mean it. I don't mean that in a belittling way at all. I just mean I thought very, very much about staying in my marriage, and I have to give my mother a lot of credit in this respect because she said, "You know, Heather, you've got to re-engineer your life. This you didn't know this was going to happen, but you have the right to be happy, and your husband at the time has the right to be happy. And if both of you can move to your own new worlds." Your children will see that you're happy, and your children can grow up in an atmosphere that's much more more caring for them, and that can never occur if you stay together. You'll be living a lie, and who wants to do that? So,
and we agree with that totally.
Yeah.
Now, has your husband maintained a good relationship with the children?
We've been able to do that, yes. He's maintained a very good relationship with the children. But he's one of those guys that was a great dad beforehand, and
mm-hmm.
he begged me in the divorce to please not take the kids away. And I
mm-hmm.
did what I'm sure a lot of women do. I lawyered up and wanted to take them away.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just beat them up and take the kids away. And after a lot of processing, we've slowly but surely moved into a relationship where he's very much engaged in their lives.
And do your children know that he's gay?
Yes.
And have they accepted that?
As a couple, that's one of the, you know, I know that's a choice, and everyone has to make the choice on when is the right time to tell the children or if they should tell the children. My personal belief was that it set my whole family free. when the truth came out. And we told the kids very quickly. And, you know, they're doing very well. I have an older daughter who's going through, you know, she's going through her own changes of life, and she has to deal with some difficulties in her high school of, you know, not wanting to expose that her father's gay for the fear of what that might bring at her school.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, we're, I tend to use the tag phrases, I'm hoping to be raising ambassadors of tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is wonderful when you can do that. And I think it takes a lot of work. I think at the beginning we're very angry and we're very hurt. And it's very easy to say, well, you made your bed, now go lay in it. But the bottom line is that after we get over our initial shock, and, you know, I'm not saying you have to be forgiving or you have to not be angry, but you have to realize that what's best for the children is they have to have the security of two parents.
Mm-hmm.
And if a father is willing to have, you know, positive relationships with his children, I strongly encourage every woman to, you know, push that. Because the only one who will really be hurt otherwise is the children. And I know that I always tell people that, you know, my younger days when I was raising my children when they were young, and I split up from my husband, and I was so angry at him. And I was angry at him after we split up because just his behavior sometimes to me was just horrible. But, you know, I just couldn't take that out with the kids, and I used to bite my tongue so much, you know, keeping my mouth shut. I said sometimes my tongue would be swelling out of my mouth, you know, just from biting on it, so I wouldn't say the wrong thing in front of them. But I always do believe that, you know, the children have to be the priority when a marriage ends, and that both parents have to do their best to try to give that child that security so the children don't blame themselves. So I know it is a struggle.
And it's a struggle every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, their dad has moved on to a relationship of his own with another man. And, you know, I fight hard and not say too much when I'm that's foreign for me. And how do I get over my fears and anger and, you know, understand that that can be just as good a relationship as if I move into one with someone else, which I have chosen not to do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's every day is a struggle. I don't ever want to make it seem like it's a light and easy thing. It's a choice every day. Keep moving forward.
Heather, let me ask you this question because this comes up often, so I'd just like to get your opinion on it. A lot of times we have this discussion. Would it have been easier for you if it were another woman than it is that it's a man?
You know, I have so many people ask me that. And in the very beginning, I said, no, it is worse. It's worse than, you know, that it's another man.
Mm-hmm.
But now that my, you know, it's amazing what a couple of years will do for you, right? Now 5 years passed. And looking back, I think in my personal circumstance, it was easier that it was another man because I didn't ever try to change me and think that if I had only been, you know, sexier or if I had only been cuter or if I had only been lighter or all the crap things that we can do to ourselves is the emotional beat up that we can do to ourselves. I was spared a little bit of that when I realized that I don't have the sexual being that I need to have to keep him as a husband. So it all moved over.
And did he take the responsibility for that? You know, did he reassure you it had nothing to do with you?
Not in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That took a couple of years of you know, regaining, you know, healthiness in our relationship for him to say that. And then he did come around and say absolutely that.
Mm-hmm. Did he make you feel doubtful in any way prior to that? Because that happens with a lot of men. You know, rather than take responsibility, they'll say, well, you weren't supportive enough, you weren't, you know, attractive enough, you weren't sexual enough. You know, they'll come up with a million things that was wrong with you, which has nothing to do with anything.
Doesn't that happen all the time?
Yeah. all the time.
I talk to so many women, and it's just, it's so degrading to our self-esteem when these men will do that, and they don't come out as quickly as they should or as they feel they might, and they degrade our self-worth by making us feel like if we only had, you know, been better, or if we only had been less bitchy, or whatever it was.
Less demanding, more supportive, less, you know.
More supportive. Mm-hmm.
More supportive, right. I hear that all the time.
You do?
Yes, I do. You know, it's a very common complaint that, you know, men tell their wives. And that's why when they say it takes two to tango, I always say, well, not in a marriage to a gay man. It's only one thing that's tangoing there, and that's the homosexuality. Because, you know, what bothers a gay man wouldn't bother a straight man. See, well, that's what people don't realize. You know, women keep trying to change themselves so that the men, you know, won't be so annoyed by them or feel a certain way. But if you were living with a straight husband, the normal course of life, these things, you know, don't bother men. You know, but to a man who feels trapped in a marriage because it's not where he belongs, everything bothers him.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than take responsibility for himself, you know, it's so much easier just to blame the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, you know, when guys say to women, well, if you would have been more supportive, how much more supportive could you have been? You know, how less trapping could you have been? You know, I know that my ex-husband used to say many times he feels trapped. And I've heard that from many other women. You know, their husbands felt trapped. Well, they were trapped. They were trapped in a marriage that they wanted to get into themselves and they didn't belong in. But, you know, instead they made us feel like we were the ones who were trapping them just because we wanted to have a normal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, something that's a common complaint that, you know, women hear all the time. And it takes a long time.
I heard it quite often. Mine was that my husband was traveling all the time for business. And
mm-hmm.
he started traveling more and more and more. And when I would complain and say, you need to come home and be a part of this marriage and, you know, and help raise these children. I work too. Oh, I was overbearing and asking too much, and he was the one working so hard. And, yeah, all these things that kind of erode. You know, I started questioning myself, like, am I really asking too much?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very common of what we will do when we start having the marriage break down, is asking, you know, that the easiest place to go is to question your own thoughts and your own sensibilities. And that's not it at all.
Also, you know, for the women who write to you, you know, I always tell women who write to me, the fact that you're even writing to me, the fact that you're even questioning it shows you that there has to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because women who have husbands who are straight don't write to us. I mean, you know, they may go somewhere else, they might have other complaints, but you can always feel when there's something not quite right in a marriage. Now, mm-hmm. towards the end of your marriage, were you feeling that something wasn't quite right?
Yes. Yes, but I was choosing not to not to acknowledge it myself. But yes, I was feeling like things were not quite right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mine were the physical changes, like the he was working on his body all of the time, working out of the office all the time, traveling much too much. Going, as I said, all these things that were happening around me that I was choosing not to pay attention to. But I knew they were there. And you're right. I don't think I ever wrote you at that point, Bonnie, but I have an awful lot of women that's the main thing they write me for. My husband is doing this and this and this, or I caught him looking at pornography, or this or this, or whatever it might be. Do you think that he might be gay? And what a wonderful offer that you're giving when you're giving out words of encouragement to say, if you're feeling like it's not right, it probably isn't.
Right.
But we
and
don't.
I strongly tell this to women that, you know, the fact that you even have to write to me shows me that there's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that so many women struggle with this for so long, and they try to keep making something work that's not a workable situation. Yeah. But, you know, at least, you know, you and your husband, you know, had the, well, you had the courage to leave and, mm-hmm. you know, say that you don't want to live in this kind of a situation. But, you know, there are plenty of women out there who just don't have the strength because, you know, you came from a good marriage, so you, even though there were things that were off the last few years, you know, you still had good years behind you. But there's a lot of women who never had those good years.
Right.
And I think the longest the longer you stay in a debilitating marriage, the less sense of, you know, who you are you have because you really lose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I found.
I have found that from the women that write me the same thing. And the fear of leaving a marriage, the fear of starting out all on your own, of raising children by yourself or, you know, having to move away from the house that you're in and all the, you know, what's going to happen when you tell other people. Just all of these very fearful thoughts that come to mind. That's crisis time. It's difficult to get through, but I promise you, if you can find the support network and listen to shows like yours that help you find the answers to the questions that are running through your head. Starting over again is just really the only way. It's the only way to get back to a healthy world.
Right, and I think that emotionally you can't stay healthy when you're living in these marriages. And no matter how hard you try to be an actress and pretend around your children, you know, they have to know when you're not happy. Wouldn't you say so?
I would. Yep,
you
know
when
we're all stressed out and unhappy. Absolutely.
You know, because I have women tell me, well, I'm a great actress. I can pretend around my children. I find that really hard to believe. I can't believe that when you're so unhappy that you can keep pretending you're happy in front of them all the time. You know, I think that certainly does come through, you know, every day when you're living under that kind of stress. Was it a long time after you found out that you separated from your husband?
Oh, no, I was so angry and livid that I gave him, you know, 4 days to go find a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the house. And we never lived back in the same house, you know, together for an extended period of time after that. And it all just started to unravel immediately.
I think a lot of women would be interested in knowing how you were able to achieve that. Because I have women who will tell me, well, I tell my husband to leave, they're not leaving. But it was just lucky that yours did, correct?
Yeah, I can be a little forceful at times. I completely understand that because the men think, you know, it's just as much my house as it is your house. But everybody has a different story. Mine was just, you know, you weren't faithful. You didn't tell me the way you should have. This is explosive to me. Get the heck out.
Uh-huh.
And in my situation, he did. And separation and the space allowed us to work through a lot of fear and a lot of anger from both sides. He was angry at me. I was angry at him. I mean, it was not pretty. And we lawyered up and yelled at each other, and it was ugly. But the space allowed us to work through, you know, a lot of stuff. And
this
we were
what
able
I
to
can never understand. Like, what was he angry about?
Good question, Bonnie. You know, I keep looking back and saying, what do you have to be angry about? You don't have anything to be angry about.
Right.
But it's they can turn it around pretty quick, just the same as we talked about a little earlier about how it can be our fault that the marriage is eroding.
Exactly.
So.
And that's why I'm a very big favor in my concept of your fault divorce. You know, because I really do feel that when there's homosexuality in the marriage, you just can't treat it like any other marriage where you say, well, two people didn't get along or, you know, you weren't in sync with each other, you outgrew each other. It has nothing to do with that. It all has to, you know, be based around homosexuality that came into the marriage that you weren't expecting. And that men who are gay just don't react the same way that men who are straight react, the things that they're able to tolerate or the things they're able to accept. are certainly not what a straight man would accept because they don't want to be there to start with. Whereas they are there because they think they want to be there, they're still not able to accept it because you're straight. So I think there's so many complications. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about telling other people for yourself? I know that you said your daughter doesn't want people to know. How about your friends, family? Were you okay with telling them?
Yeah, part of my process was I wanted to get us all out as quickly as possible just because I'm kind of that way. I just want to just get it out and then we can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a lot of process where my husband didn't want to come out. He wanted to slowly and, you know, methodically, you know, just move into another house and just not. But I was damned if I was going to let him pull me into this closet where I was ashamed.
Uh-huh.
And I said, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to live in a place of shame. And I didn't want him to live in a place of shame either. And he was.
Uh-huh.
He was living in such a place of shame that he didn't want anyone to know. Well, why not? You are what you are. But that's a little Pollyanna in society. I completely understand that you know, not everyone can come out. And
uh-huh.
he works in corporate America and doesn't want to be out there. But for our friends and family, which just looked at when we announced our divorce or, you know, started the process of it, everybody said, what? Why? And when the first friend of mine came to me and said, you had an affair, didn't you? Something went on in my head and I said, we're coming out. And for us, it worked out okay. We went and talked to the counselors at my kids' schools
uh-huh.
and got them to understand what was happening, that my children were going through a divorce that I didn't even know how to deal with and that had all these additional complications in it. We told our therapists, we told some of our friends. I mean, we didn't tell the whole world.
Uh-huh.
That allowed us to have a bit of a support network going through. Certainly it helped me. I don't think he was very happy with the way I pushed it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, everybody has their own story. I know it's not easy. Certainly you're going to be having something next week with adult children that have gay fathers, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Yes, we are.
And
I think that's
an
area that's
behind you, tell your kids or not, that's a very, very big question to a lot of people. What do you usually tell people about that, Bonnie?
My views have really changed, I think, a lot over the years. And, you know, when I was first starting out many, many years ago, it's almost 30 years ago, I used to say, well, if there's no need to tell the children, why complicate things more? You know, I was kind of naive about that also. Or wait till it's age appropriate. You know, it's hard when they're going into adolescence, especially for boys when they find out because, you know, then they start questioning their own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though ironically there are a lot of girls who, you know, are lesbians, my daughter was included in that. You know, I never was worried about my daughter. You know, we always think in our minds our husbands are gay, our sons will be gay. But the reality is that a lot of girls are gay or lesbians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's over the years, I think I've kind of, you know, because I keep wavering also, but I really do feel that it's best to just get the truth out. You know, mm-hmm. as, you know, my friend Doug says, that you don't have to tell them the explicit details of your sex life, but, you mm-hmm. know, there's nothing wrong in telling children that, you know, people are born differently, you know, daddy is gay, mommy is not, you know, so that I do think it's important that children should know. And I just see the results of what happens when they don't know or they find out. Today, kids are so much more in tune than, you know, I'm not speaking for you, Heather, because you're much younger, but like when I was growing up. But today, kids are much more aware of things. Plus, you know, they're on the computer. A lot of them find homosexual stuff on the computer about their fathers and things going on, and then they feel they're really torn. And, in fact, the young lady, Crystal, who's going to be our guest next week, she was in that situation where she found the porno on the computer and her father didn't want her telling anything, and then she feels she has to keep his secrets and his lies. You know, that really tears the children apart more. And it really, you know, they feel disloyal to one parent if they tell the other parent. You know, so I think in view of the fact that today things are so much more open and children probably know long before their mothers know, you know, it's really important just to bring that news out and tell the children. and let them handle it. You know, they have to be told, and certainly, you know, to be discreet about it. You know, watch who you tell. People don't understand it. But I think not telling them, and then if they find out that you've been keeping these secrets from them, you know, I think it's even worse. I mean, that's my feelings now.
Hmm.
You know, and I don't say it's an absolute in every case, but I do think it's really important. You know, the more secrets you keep in the family, the worse it is. You know, secrets really destroy a family, don't you think so?
I absolutely believe in that. I think secrets continuously erode a family, and you know, this is an awfully big secret. I think we were able to deal with it. You know, it was tough in the beginning, and it continues to be as my children go through adolescence. I have a daughter, as I said, who's 16, or about to be 16, and I have a son who is coming up. You know, he's 13, and they're both going to go through their interesting phases of this. But if we all stay honest with each other and with disclosure of the fact that, you know, that everybody is different, and if we can be tolerant of each other, there's beautiful things to learn in the fact that people come in all different, you know, belief systems, sizes.
Right. And, you know, that's how I approach it with my, you know, when I had to tell my daughter when she was 13, which, you know, her father wouldn't tell her, but, you know, she was seeing things in his house that he was leaving exposed there. And I didn't want her growing up being confused, you know, when she would see, you know, videos or whatever, because kids are curious. And no matter how hard he would try to hide something, he wasn't leaving it out. But, you know, when he was away from, you know, they'd be visiting him, you know, they go through drawers, they go through everything. And, you know, they told me they had found some stuff like that. And, you know, I felt at that point that I just couldn't keep making it like, you know, well, everybody does this. And I, you know, I tried to get him to talk to her, and he said, absolutely not. So I decided to do it myself. And, you know, I try to approach it that, you know, some people are born tall, some people are born short. Some people have blue eyes, some people have brown eyes. Some people have brown skin, white skin. Some people are straight, some people are gay, you know. I try to do it in a very compassionate, loving way. And, you know, and then I brought up that, you know, her father, and then I brought up positive gay role models for children, you know, because they're really involved with all the movie stars and singers now who are gay. It's not like it's closed off like it used to be. And then I brought up that, you know, her father was born differently, too. So she was very sympathetic to him. You know, she was, you know, 13 or 14 at the time, and she kind of felt sorry for him now because she felt like he had this burden to handle. You know, but of course, once again, she didn't feel any kind of, you know, shame about it. My son, as a boy, you know, he certainly felt differently when he found out, you know, a few years later. And, you know, he just didn't want his friends to know. He always felt it was some kind of embarrassment to him or that it would reflect on him. And, you know, that was their choice. They didn't have to let people know. You know, I feel that we need to tell them, but they don't need to tell others. But at least they need to know. So that's kind of how, Misty, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm going to agree with what you've just said. I, of course, as all those that listen on the show, they know I don't have children. However, I've worked with a lot of children, and I have found honesty is the best policy. Secrets, I agree that secrets, I think, make people sick in lots of different ways. And, you know, if you're asked to hide some, you know, hide a secret or, you know, don't tell this person, don't tell that person, we all got to live in the closet. I mean, it does not promote what Heather just said, ambassadors, I mean, of tolerance. That just perpetuates the cycle, I feel. I think honesty is the best policy, and I think you can do honesty as the best policy at every age. You can pick out what is age appropriate to your child. They don't need to know all the details. And I tell parents when I work with parents, you know, just make sure that your children is not carrying the burden of your pain. You don't tell the children to the point of, you know, he said, she said, this, that. I mean, they don't need to carry the burden of pain. But I do believe children need to know the truth because children are very intuitive little beings. They pick up on stuff. They know things are not right. And I believe when you don't tell them that it's other things like, you know, well, daddy's gay, mommy's straight, these things are not working out, children do what, you know, we've talked about before, magical thinking. They're going to make up all sorts of reasons why their parents are divorcing, separating, or just not getting along. And oftentimes they blame it on themselves. So I don't think it's healthy to not tell them. I think it's healthy to tell them in age-appropriate terms.
Yeah, I think it's really important to tell them because so many times children say, well, at least we know now why the marriage didn't last. Because a lot of times kids tend to blame their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a happy family, and now you're the one who's breaking it up. You know, why are you doing that? Daddy didn't want to leave. Because a lot of times the men will tell that to their children. I didn't want to leave. Your mother made me leave. So, you know, a lot of times it makes the mother look like the bad person. So I think it's important that children need to know, look, you know, there were problems in this marriage that couldn't be resolved. And this is what the problem was. And there's all different age-appropriate ways to tell children this, but I do think they need to know. And, you know, I think they need support. You know, that's one of the reasons why we're starting the adult support group for adult children, because, you know, there's really no place for adult children to really have a place to go for support. And I think they go through a lot of issues that we're not even aware of, and they don't want to discuss with us because they don't want to hurt us as our mothers, and they don't want to hurt their fathers. But, you know, I think they really need a place to go where they can discuss the issues that are bothering them. So hopefully, you know, that group will be starting by the end of this month, and we're really excited about it. Maybe your daughter might be interested in that also, Heather.
Oh, I was just about to say how grateful I am that you're doing something like that, because I do believe that the adult children need somewhere to go. Just like you said, they don't want to hurt mom. They don't want to hurt dad. They need a place in the middle there where they can, you know, share these unique pains that they have. And I'm definitely going to have my daughter check in.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, at least with your husband, your ex-husband, that he still wanted to remain a good father. I think it's a lot harder for kids where their fathers just walk off and they don't look back for, you know, years to come. Because now they're finally, you know, living their lives and making up for all the years that they didn't have in the gay world. And, you know, it's really hard for children to understand that. But regardless of whether children have a positive relationship or negative relationship with their fathers, I still think there's a lot of issues that they have in common, you know, about who they can tell, how will it affect them. You know, I've seen terrible things happen to children when news comes out, you know, because they live in areas where people are intolerant or relationships, you know, people don't want them to be friends with them. I mean, it's really a shame that people are still so ignorant when it comes to homosexuality. That no matter how far we've come in this country, there are plenty of places within this country where people are really still very ignorant, I find. Do you find that true, Heather?
I do. I do. And so many of the notes that I get from women say exactly that, that they live in areas where they're fearful of people's attitudes toward homosexuality. And because of that, they're terrified of changing their circumstances, and their kids don't find out because of it, and it just breaks down communication, and it's very much a shame. Too bad.
Let me ask you, when you were growing up, did you have gay friends at all? Not growing up, but, you know, likely in your teens, early 20s. Did you have exposure?
I had a few. None that were really out. It was a pretty foreign concept to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when my husband came out. So, yeah, it wasn't a world that I had grown up in as a kid at very little.
But did you have a stereotypical kind of image of a gay person in your mind? Like, did you think, well, if somebody's gay, I'd be able to figure that out?
Oh, that was something I just beat myself up for after I found out that my husband was gay, was how could I have not known? Everybody knows what a gay person is like. Everybody knows what a gay man should be like. And so obviously I must have had very stereotypical, you know, tapes running in my head.
Mm-hmm.
What I found out was all of them were so wrong and so silly. I mean, gay people are just like straight people. They come in every shape, size, color, you know. They do every kind of job there is out there. There is no typical, is there?
Not at all. And that's why people are so fooled, because, you know, we look at the stereotypes that we see on television, or the guys who have the fashionable eyes or the ones who are, you know, like I say, feminine or the ones who are flamboyant. And we think this is what gay is, but this isn't what gay is. And I think that confuses a lot of men also, because they themselves don't make a connection with that. And they see, you know, the gay stereotypical character on television or in the movies, and they say, well, that's not me. I don't act like that. So I think that puts a lot of them into their own denial also. Did your husband ever have a conversation with you after the fact about, you know, how long he's been struggling with this?
Yes. After the fact, we were, when the anger started to subside and we started to make plans to move forward and how we were going to parent our children and, you know, move into the separate houses that we were moving into, then we were able to come full circle and have a conversation about it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, for him, I think it was very similar to a lot of men. I mean, like you say, how would someone choose this? And that's, he was very much like that. He couldn't believe that he was gay because he enjoyed having a family and enjoyed being a father and kids, and now he's going to lose all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he went through a stage of anger, denial, you know, consistent denial, denial that went on for years.
Mm-hmm.
Then it caught up with him, and I'm never going to forgive that he,
he cheated on you during your marriage?
Yeah. Yep. I'll never forgive that. But then again, I guess I've always known exactly who I am and would never question that I was anything other than who I thought I was, you know, who I am. So I guess I don't know what someone that doesn't want to be gay goes through when it breaks through the surface of their, you know, consciousness.
Right, and I like I say, I understand all that. It's just that once you feel that need to have to act on it, that's where I feel that you need to be honest.
Absolutely.
You know, I certainly understand up until that point if you're fighting it, if you're denying it, if you don't understand it, if you're confused, if you don't want to lose what you have, so you're fighting in every way possible. But once you feel that need that I have to act on it, and some guys go through, you know, all kinds of deceit. You know, it's not uncommon to, you said that your husband had new friends. I see these guys bringing home their lovers and introducing them as friends to their wives, having them in their house, and, you know, having no respect for the woman in her home. You know, it's like they've had no respect at all. They're bringing this right into your house. So, you know, it's like the behavior sometimes gets so bizarre to me that I feel that, you know, at least if you want to do something, and then it's time to be honest with your wife. But, you know, once again, I realize it's a hard thing for many people, but other people, I feel, just want to have their cake and eat it, too.
They absolutely do.
They're having the best of all worlds. You know, they're living the, you know, hidden life with their wives. They're not being particularly good husbands, but, you know, at least they're there. And they have their wife and their children as their cover, and yet they're going out and doing their own thing. One of the things that you mentioned about your husband that comes up a lot also, Heather, is that when women tell me that their husbands travel a lot, I feel that's really like a key issue, too, because they have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think,
do you feel that's another clue?
Oh, I believe that's a big, big red flag. If if they travel for their jobs and the level of travel increases,
mm-hmm.
of course, that's a red flag. And I would encourage any woman to, you know, to ask her husband if he starts traveling a lot more, why this is going on. And if you don't feel comfortable with the answer that you get, then look inside yourself and, you know, try and figure out why you don't feel comfortable with that answer. No one likes to travel more for business, or at least I wouldn't. Sure as heck wouldn't want to travel more for business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough one. I think that's a red flag.
I do, too. What are some of the other red flags that you tell women about?
Well, let's see. Certainly the one about, here's one that I talk a lot about, is I find that gay men, right before they come out, very often will display extreme homophobic behavior.
Uh-huh.
And my husband, I'll never forget one night, he came home and said, oh, my gosh, we were downtown, you know, I was downtown with some friends, and just these gay guys were walking by the street right in front of us, and they were just all over each other. You know, just this extreme homophobic discussion occurred. And it came out of nowhere, and he had never been like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And what I after I started doing a little bit of research, I realized that's a pretty typical one. Pornography is very typical. I didn't have that in my world so much, but I hear that again and again and again, especially homosexual pornography. Do you hear that one?
All the time.
Yep.
And I always tell women that if your husband's looking at men, that's it. You know, gay, straight men do not look at other men, period. I have my gay friends who tell me the same thing. They say, if your women ask you about gay men or their husbands are straight and watching gay pornography, tell them they're kidding themselves, that straight men do not watch gay pornography. And it just doesn't happen to pop up on your screen, trust me.
Hmm.
It's there for a reason. And with mm-hmm. the homophobic remarks, do you know why they do that?
Why did they do that?
Well, there's two reasons. One reason is because they're trying to throw you off track. And
mm-hmm.
they think that the more they say against gay people, the more reassuring it's going to be to you, because they figure that you're thinking it already. But
mm-hmm.
the other reason why a lot of them make homophobic remarks is because, in a way, they really are homophobic, in the sense that, you know, when they see gay guys who are flamboyant or who are out there, or, you know, who are openly gay and honestly and authentically gay, as I call it, authentically gay, you know, they feel ashamed and embarrassed by it because they don't want to make that their connection to the gay world. You know, they don't, you know, they have a sense of that self-hatred themselves because they haven't come to terms with it. And they don't want to feel that that's reflective of who they are. You know, they're not like that kind of gay person. You know, they look down on the gay people because they haven't come to accept themselves yet. So I find it's very common. Mine used to be that way also. What are some of the other red flags you found?
One that I found was that my husband started receiving, like, expensive gifts. Like, he would come home with really nice new clothes on, but the clothes had changed. I mean, he used to be very, very... All of a sudden, like, new, more hip, more happening clothes were coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And once I asked him, oh, my God, you know, you spent all that money on a leather coat? Well, no. He gave it because I said I really liked it. Huh. I think
we're losing you, Heather.
Pardon?
I think your phone was kind of fading out. But go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just
That's
asked
okay.
myself, you know, why didn't I see that? He started receiving gifts of
mm-hmm.
nice clothing, of, you know, a new bike, you know, really expensive gifts that were coming from, that we couldn't afford,
mm-hmm.
That were coming from friends. And they were just, quote, friends. And I thought that was very strange. And his clothes were changing, and just the we didn't have any gay friends. Well, we had maybe one or two gay friends in our relationship previously.
Mm-hmm.
And now there was one or two more that were being introduced about every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that they were new friends, you know, but they were always from a different place, one from the office, one from, you know, a friend of a friend. But those are definite red flags if... Now the new friends that are being brought into your relationship are gay men.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because straight men don't feel comfortable hanging out with gay men. You know,
mm-hmm.
I always say
yeah.
it's one thing if you grow up with somebody and they turn out that they're gay and you're friends with them, well, you're not necessarily going to not be friends with them. But you're not going to inherit a whole new group of gay friends. That's not going to
mm-hmm.
be happening in a straight relationship. I think that's a really good point also. And how about, you know, within your own marriage, did you ever think that maybe he was cheating with a woman?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Was that maybe your first thought before you thought men?
That was absolutely my first thought. I mean, when,
mm-hmm.
when I started questioning the travel,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty convinced that, you know, and I was, the typical signs were happening within my marriage. You know, there was less and less sexual activity, less and less quality sexual activity. And I thought, oh, I've lost him. He's off, you know, having a relationship with another woman because he's traveling all the time. I just didn't, well, I wasn't putting the pieces together. And I think that's very typical as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, in retrospect, it's been 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And have you gone through a lot of healing on your own part?
Yes. Every day I challenge myself to, in one small way, heal just a little bit more and a little bit more. And it's been a heck of a journey. Certainly a financial journey. Set me back big time financially. I lost a job in corporate America because I just couldn't keep my brain together. I just couldn't. During the divorce, I was so scattered that I lost a very good job and haven't ever recovered that.
Mm-hmm.
But every day I feel a little bit better and a little bit better, and yeah, pretty good place now.
Right, and this is 5 years later. So when I tell women that it takes time for what I call gay husband recovery, it does take time. It is a process because you're constantly
yeah.
faced with the issue. You know, it's not like it goes away, and especially when you're raising children together. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not that you're not going to be confronted by it or not going to be seeing him or seeing him and his boyfriend, you know, which is a constant reminder to you. And even if you accept it on one level intellectually, you know, the emotionalism of it still hurts. I think
yes.
for a long time, no matter how you justify it or accept it, you know, when you see it and you have to be living it with them, it still does hurt. So
it
I think
does
it does
hurt.
Take, you know, gay husband recovery takes a long time. It is a process, and you're constantly trying to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that it leaves behind some sense of residual scarring also. You know, there's still, you know, when you go into new relationships, which you said you haven't done that yet, but, you know, when you're ready to go into one, you know, there's still going to be buttons that get pushed that, you know, bring you back to that same place or doubts or lack of trust, you know, that you have to deal with. So I think that we're faced with a lot of issues that other women are not faced with. And I kind of, you know, agree that I don't feel it's any better if it would be a man or a woman. You know, I wouldn't be any less hurt one way or the other. But I just think when it's a man, even though it makes it more sense because you realize it's not you personally, you can't personalize it, but there's just so many issues that we're uncomfortable with the whole thing of homosexuality that it takes that much longer to really heal and recover from it. So, you know, I think that it is a process, but I'm glad to hear that you're feeling much better about it.
Thank you, Bonnie.
And
yeah.
It's
a long process, and I think it's going to go on for a for a long, long time, especially until my children become adults themselves and keep moving forward. It's a multi-layered process, isn't it?
Oh, it was for me. I know that before I could ever even be interested in, you know, even seeing somebody again. It took me a good 11 years after my marriage. You know, especially in the fact that 11 years. Well, you know, it's kind of slow. I mean, but I mean, it took me a long. I had a lot of residual damage, but you know, I had a lot of growing to do myself. I mean, wanted to make sure that I never put myself back in a situation where I had to ever, you know, feel that way again because I didn't have the confidence and I didn't have the self-esteem that I needed to feel good about myself. And I had little children, and I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, having them pulled one way or another. They were pulled enough. So for me, it was. You know, it just took a long time. But don't go on my time scale. You know, like I say, I was really on the low side of that. But even after I got into a relationship, you know, it just took time until I was able to feel comfortable with it because I still had so many hang-ups from my marriage to my gay husband and learning how to communicate and trusting someone and believing in, you know, honesty and feeling secure that he wasn't going to go out and cheat on me because that was constantly going on during my marriage. And, you know, mm-hmm. it just leaves those kinds of, you know, scars with you that you have to really learn to overcome if you're going to have a healthy marriage. Very thankfully, I found a wonderful man who gives me that kind of, you know, support and self-confidence that I needed. But, you know, it was a long process. So hopefully your soulmate's out there waiting for you, Heather.
Thank you. There's a country western song out there that says something like, I just haven't met you yet. That's
right.
Right.
And you know what? I tell women, don't push it. When the time is right, it will come.
Right.
You know, the
right.
more you push it, sometimes the worse it becomes. But
mm-hmm.
I just want to give people your website address again. So
okay.
I'll let you give it out.
Okay. It's www.ismyspousegay.com. And thanks again, Bonnie. Thank you for having me on and for
Thank you so much, and I hope you'll join us again, Heather. And if people want to read about, you know, Heather's book or how to order it, you can go online to her website. You can write me at bonk@aol.com if you don't have a pencil to write down her website. Or my new newsletter will be coming out this week, and you can, you know, the information will be in there also with a picture of Heather's book. So, Heather, thank you so much for being our guest, and we hope you'll come and join us again in our autumn show, okay?
Okay.
And thanks for your input. Misty, do you have anything else to add?
Good luck with the book. Thank you for adding more information out there to the Straight Wives Club. We need good information, so thank you. I'm looking forward to reading the book.
Great. Well, I'll send you a copy, Christy. Thank you so much for the platform, and I listen in all the time. So keep up the great work.
And I'm a big fan of you, Heather.
Thank
you for listening to us. But I think you're such a great leader in this field. So I really appreciate all you've done to, you know, connect with women also. And my real dream is meeting you one day in person, and hopefully that will happen too.
Well, I'm hoping to get down to your Florida group.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I can't go this fall, but if you keep doing it, there's a good chance I'll be there next fall. I'd love that.
That sounds great. We'd love to have you. All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
All right. Thank you both.
I'll talk to you again soon. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Misty, that was a wonderful, you know, conversation with Heather. I mean, I'm just so inspired by her.
Absolutely.
Because she had the courage to go and to write this book, and I strongly recommend it to people. You know, I had the opportunity to view the book before, you know, Heather put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Your What? I like the way it's called, Your What? Survival
Strategy.
Yeah, I like
the title.
Yeah,
I think
we can
all relate to the title of that, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Survival Strategy for Straight Spouses. And, you know, Heather has a beautiful website. And like I say, you can, you know, read about her story, about the resources that she gives, you know, how to buy the book. And, you know, Heather's really gained a lot of practical, hands-on, good experience doing this. And, you know, I just think that the more support people have, excuse me, the more information they have. So if you get the newsletter this month, it's coming out later this week, you'll be reading about Heather's book and also about Dr. Francine Barbetta's book. You know, I have a little blurb in there with some words from Francine because a lot of people are interested in her book after she appeared on our show. And I think the important thing in bringing authors on here, Misty, is to make women realize that they're not nearly as isolated or alone as they think they are. And that this situation just stretches across not only America, but across the whole world. And that, you know, women everywhere are sharing the same pain and the same phenomena. And that there is support available and there is help available. And talking about support, Misty, what's going on with your workshops coming up?
Well, I've got a new one coming up that has been very popular. I keep the members low on the workshop so everyone has time to participate, and it is almost full. So if you want in on it, I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's called Rediscovering Yourself. And, Bonnie, you and I both know that's a huge key in moving forward when you discover that your husband is gay and you want out of the marriage and you're trying to move forward to figure out who you are, what's the next step, you know, because everything's eroded. You know, I remember walking around as an empty shell and did not even know who I was. So this full workshop is going to be 4 weeks in length. We'll meet live via phone call. So if you can use the phone, you can participate in this workshop. It's that easy. and we will discuss different things. And the great part is you'll get to be with other straight wives from around the United States, Canada, and sometimes we have some overseas, especially if the time zones work out okay. So it's just going to be a wonderful get-together for straight wives. It starts September the 20th. We will begin at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Zone. And if you want any more information, please feel free to email me. It's MistyLynnHall@AOL.com, MistyLynnHall@AOL.com. And we will get you a spot reserved. It will be one of the best investments you will make in yourself. I can promise you that.
Okay, and that's going to be starting this week?
That's going to be starting September the 20th. It's on Monday.
September 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Misty, make sure you send me that information so I can include it in the newsletter coming out this
week. Absolutely.
Because in case you didn't miss the information, if you're not getting my newsletters, please make sure to email me at bonkaye@AOL.com, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, and I'll be more than happy to add you to my monthly mailing list. And this month's issue is going to be a really dynamite one because, we're going to be launching our group for adult children of gay men, and we're going to have a beautiful letter in there from our guest who's going to be on our show next week, Crystal, who's 21 years old and who's been through a lot going through this process of adjusting to having a gay father. And just like Heather was saying, no two situations are the same, and the same with children. You know, naturally, if none of our two situations are the same, certainly none of their situations are exactly the same either. But the fact remains that there's still a lot of common questions, problems, and real support that's needed. So, you know, we're trying to get this group moving. So at least by the beginning of October, we'll have enough, you know, people to start a group. And as Misty and I were mentioning, we just started our Australian support group this week and really excited about the prospect of uniting women across another part of the world, you know, to meet each other and to be there for each other, to, you know, support each other. Because the one thing that we all know in this country is that people feel so isolated and so alone when they're going through this. And through having support, that's definitely one way that we can really work on, you know, changing that. So through, you know, a lot of times people also ask me about therapists who I recommend. And, you know, the only therapist that I recommend is Misty. You know,
Thank you.
Is really an incredible therapist when it comes to working with straight wives. And so whether you do it as part of her support group, you know, not support group, as a group kind of counseling or one-on-one counseling, you know, no matter where you live, you can always pick up a telephone. You never have to leave home. And no matter how bad you're feeling, by the time you're finished with Misty, you will definitely feel a lot better. I know I always feel better after I talk to you, Misty.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Bonnie. I appreciate that. And I have to
when
say,
when I need a therapist, I'm going to come to you, Misty.
Please do. Please do.
Oh, I definitely will.
That. What a great compliment. Thank you. And it's, you know, it's so rewarding to get to come full circle. It really is to be, you know, have gone through this, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But I'm so glad that I did get the training as a therapist because I understand the situation. I've been there. I know what it's like. And my situation is not going to be exact to someone else's, but I understand. I understand the pain. I understand the crisis. I understand the shame, all of that. So,
yep. Nobody can understand like we do. So, once again, don't bother looking for strangers who will misdirect you with bad advice. Come to people who are experts. One thing I wanted to mention before we go, that I had a really nice note from one of our listeners, Lori, and she wanted me to give a tidbit to share with our listeners. She said that she was recently talking to somebody, and one tidbit that she learned about that you may want to pass on, there's something called an app out there. Now, you know how technologically horrible I am, Misty, so maybe you've heard of this. There's an APT app out there for iPods, Blackberries, et cetera, that many gay men have that allows them to zero in on other gays wherever they are. They just say, I'm here, say a restaurant, mall, or party, you name it, and like-minded men in the vicinity tell them they're there also. And it says it makes those quickies and hookups you've talked about pretty easy right under the noses of their unsuspecting wives. And she said, which I found very interesting because it seems whenever we would go out to dinner, my gay husband would all of a sudden get very popular on that damn BlackBerry, which besides being rude always made me wonder who the heck is calling him now after the thing has been so quiet all day. Who knows, it may have been all coincidental, but knowledge is power, and it could be a good way for a suspecting wife to get that evidence she is looking for if she were to get the app herself and see what he is up to, since it can all be very anonymous. Now, have you heard about this?
I have. I have. A dear friend of mine told me about it. He said, you know, and actually he passed along the information because he knows that I work with straight wives. He said, this is unbelievable. And he knows some of his friends actually switched over to the iPhone because of the application. I suppose it's for other phones now. And I was just floored. I could not believe it. Apparently it's something similar to a GPS, and you put in where you are, and you pick up other men that are where they are. And, you know, if you're wanting to meet up. So I was really shocked when I heard that. I mean, technology is a wonderful thing, but wow, what another way for straight wives to, you know, be paranoid about or think about, you know, because if there's a will, there's a way. You're not going to stop your husband from cheating. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that. You're not going to stop anyone from cheating. But it's just something to be very much aware of. And I was floored when I heard that. I was just literally shocked when my friend told me about that.
Now, I think this is so wonderful for those women who tell me there's no way that my husband can find time to do this because I'm always with him. So here you are sitting in the restaurant, and he's getting these texts, and all of a sudden he tells you, honey, I have to go to the bathroom. And he could be away for 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes be, you know, hooking up with someone because it only takes 30 seconds in many cases. And that's why we tell women, you can never tell, well, I always tell women, there's no way you can say that there's no way my husband has a chance to do this. There's always a chance to do it, and it only takes a minute. So, you know, there's something for women to look out for. Also, look at whatever programs or this app, if your husband has an iPhone or a BlackBerry, to see if he has that particular, you know, thing on his.
And, you know,
thing.
Bonnie,
what is that called, a program? Program.
It's an app. It's just called an app. I don't know what the app, I will find out. I will find out what the app is called. Maybe we can discuss it a little next time. You know, you just buy them at different places online or something. A lot of these things are free to download. So I don't know, but I will investigate that and find out. And, you know, what I have to say is to all those women that say out there that there's no way their husband has time to cheat, I was one of those women, Bonnie, and I think, you know that. But just to make clear, for women out there, I would have sworn that my now ex did not have time to do anything, nor would he have done anything. And I found out, much to my surprise, and I'm very lucky to be here. I'm very lucky to be here. He was very promiscuous, and I was devastated. I had no idea. So to those women out there, keep yourself safe and keep yourself informed.
And for all the women who are listening out there, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. We hope that we bring you some sense of comfort, or that at least you feel connected to other women who are going through the same problems that you're going through. And we really strongly encourage you to listen to our program next week if you do have children, and if you do have adult children who would like to call in and contribute, you know, please get them ready because we would like to get their input. But this will be like a really important show for anyone who is looking to have adult children connect with us or to connect to each other, that there will be support. And we look forward to, you know, launching that next week. So, Misty, any final words you would like to say to our listeners?
Love to all.
Love to all of you, and we want to thank Heather Cram, our guest, so much for joining us tonight. Any problems, any questions, any input you need, please write to me at bondk@AOL. And love to you all, as Misty said, and we'll be with you back here next week, next Sunday night. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.